All right, our reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter number 2, starting at verse number 15. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth." Amen.
Amen.
Now turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. They ain't gonna bite you, they ain't gonna hurt you. Turn around, look your neighbor square in the eye. And they want to hold your hand cool if they don't, but still look at them square in the eye. And say to your neighbor, neighbor, God chose you for the work. Neighbor, God chose you for the work. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, God Chose You for the Work. There is a misconception that got into the church, and I don't know how it got in there. Some folk think it's okay just to come to church, shout on Sunday, and then do everything else you want to do the rest of the week. That is a misconception. Because it being a misconception, what you're feeling is that you have nothing to work with. And if you are a child of God and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, He gave you all the essential tools for you to put in the work. And since He has done that for us, we as God's people are doing a disservice to the ministry of Jesus Christ if we are not utilizing and working for the Lord. I want you to know and understand that the reason why some churches aren't where they need to be is you got 20 people doing the work of 300. What if we had 300 people doing the work of 300? And if 300 are doing the work, that's going to be, you know, are you understanding what I'm saying? It's recognizing the responsibility that each and every one of us have. But then there is the reality, Reverend Rhodes. Right. The reality is that when we came and got started, we were excited. Yeah. We wanted to work. We were working. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, we realized we had to work with people. And when we started working with people, Brother Freeman, it made us realize that, Lord, I'm not sure if I can do this work. Because, Lord, I'm doing what you have called me to do. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Really? If you are, then why are you worrying about and looking all around you at what folks saying? So the one thing that we have to realize is that when we get caught up in looking at our surroundings and looking at how folk are responding to us, as we go forward doing the work, there's always going to be somebody sucking their teeth. There's always going to be somebody be whispering. There's always going to be somebody stabbing you in the back. There's always going to be somebody saying, well, you know, he don't really know what he's talking about. You know, I was leader for X number of years. Now they made this one in charge. Now you know what, yum, 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 yum. You understand what I'm saying? And then you know what some folks said? You can take this. All I'm going to do is come to church, get my shout on, get my food for Sunday, and I'm out the door. And I'll see you next week. Truth be told, y'all, this is Timothy. Timothy was getting agitated. Timothy was feeling frustrated. Timothy was feeling insufficient. He felt that the job requirements of his ministry and the potential that he had within did not match. He felt that it required this much, whereas he felt he only had this much. So once he felt he did not have enough, he all of a sudden started paying attention to his surroundings. You see, the problem with all of us is when we give too much attention to our surroundings. Isn't that what messed Peter up when he was called out the boat? He gave attention to the surroundings. When he first stepped out the boat, he walked on the water because he had his eyes fixed and his mind and heart focused on Jesus. But once he started paying attention to his surroundings, he got fearful and afraid, and he began to... Do we have any Christians in God's house who are in danger of drowning because you've stepped out? And you feel that now that you're out here, you find yourself sinking because you're focusing on your surroundings. You see, when we look at Timothy, we're seeing that when Paul said to him, Reverend Herndon, in chapter 1 of this book, 2 Timothy, he told him, bruh, this ain't start with you. It started with your grandmother. The faith when your grandmother had, the faith that your mother had, and I see that same faith in you. You are third generation of faith, of a faithful people. You see, when faith is in the household, that faith is supposed to be transitioned and passed on to everybody else in the household. And now that we're seeing that Paul says this is in you, since this is in you, it's now time for you to stir up your gift. Get it hot again. You've allowed folk to pour water on your fire. And you started looking at them with the water in their hand. And every time you saw them water in your hand, you threw your hands up and said, what do I need to say anything for? Because whatever I say, they're going to just. But don't you know that when you are truly have a fire that comes from God, I don't care how much water you pour on it. I want you to know it ain't going to douse the fire, because the fire is going to get even hotter. If you don't believe me, look at Elijah. When we see that he fought and battled against the prophets of Baal who had did their offering, he said, don't light it. You pray to your God. If your God's all out of bag of chips, two sodas and a shake on the side, when you pray to your God should send fire from heaven and flame up your offering. They prayed and did it for hours, and guess what, y'all? Ain't nothing happened. So what Elijah did is said, just to make sure that y'all know that I am not trying to do a magic trick, or I'm trying to use some way of getting over on you. I want y'all to go ahead and pour water all over the offering. Pour water all around the altar, just to make sure that you know that I ain't accidentally tell you to turn your head and I threw a match on it. When they looked at it, it was doused and drenched with water. But when Elijah prayed to God, don't you know God sent a fire down from heaven, burn up all that stuff? And don't you know he even licked up the water? I'm here to tell you, when you got the fire of God inside of you, can't nothing put it out, can't nothing douse it, can't nothing push it away. All you got to be willing to do is look to the one who gave you the ability, who made you able and said you are capable. My brothers and my sisters, I want you to know you didn't go to the work God chose you for the. Now, what is happening here with Timothy? What's going on with Timothy, y'all, is this. Paul is giving him words of inspiration, because Paul is somebody who knows firsthand how folk will look at you sideways, will bring buckets of water and attempt to put the fire out before it ever gets started. But what Paul realizes is that, you know what? I know I was a church persecutor. I know I was a hell raiser. I know I was against the church. But when the Lord turned my life around, I realized I have work to do. And that I didn't choose myself. God chose me for the work. You see, my brothers and sisters, and he said, wherever I go, I got to let folk know that I serve a God who is a way maker, who is a healer, who is a deliverer, who is a provider, who is a sustainer. He is our all in all. Paul said, I'm going to take it wherever I go. And I don't care how many buckets they have to try to put it out. They can't put out what God had. So Paul ain't talking at somebody who has no understanding. He's talking about his own testimony. And what he's doing is sharing it with Timothy to let Timothy know, Deacon Clark, bruh, you ain't giving up. You have to recognize it is not your work. God chose you for the work. So since God chose you for the work, there's something that God is requiring of you, Timothy. He tells him right here in this verse, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him. I got to stop right there. You see, that's something about us as the people of God. The one thing we got to know, and I got to look at the end part of that, what I see right there, and what I have to look at, he says approved. Do you know who approved you? Do you know who's blessing you? Do you know the person who's got all the dirt on you but still decided to wash you and make you clean? Do you know the one who saw you at your worst and still gave his best? God has put the stamp of approval on you. And since God has put his stamp of approval on you, what Paul is saying is that God wants the best from you because God gave his best to get you. Did you hear that? Violet, if God gave his best, why do we want to give God a secondhand bag? God wants the best from us. And if he has to tell us he wants his best, then that means that we ain't getting it. We should know to give God our best. Because tell me, what's better than Jesus? So if there's nothing better than Jesus, that's right there telling me that the Father gave his. And since he gave his best for me, then why am I not going to give mine? Hallelujah. Ministry is about the people of God recognizing who has brought you to where you are and took you from where you have been. You see, the way Paul is saying this is that it's about what we present to God. What we're presenting ought to be our. That's like the choir coming together without ever having any rehearsals and just say, we're going to just come and worship on Sunday morning. If y'all do that, I guarantee you, you are not giving God your. And then some folks say, well, I want to sing. Well, yeah, rehearsal. No. Well, then guess what? You can't give God your. I want to be a preacher of the gospel. Oh, you do? Yeah. I'm going to just open up and just start reading women. When are you going to study? If you're not, you can't give God your. I don't care what ministry you are here a part of. If you are just shuffling along in the ministry and just caught up in the title and not in the responsibility, then there's no way you can give God your. You would not allow me to be your pastor if I came up here talking about something that ain't making no kind of sense. Because that means I ain't giving God my. If I'm just coming up here just talking off the top of my head and never opening up the word of God, just saying a whole bunch of stuff, it might work for a minute, but it ain't going to last because it ain't going to last in you. Because what ought to happen with every child of God? Think about this. If all I ever did was give you lettuce to eat, Lettuce doesn't have any nutritional value. It got a good crunch, might get in your stomach, but it ain't going to do nothing for you because it ain't going to last. Rabbits don't even eat lettuce unless they're one of them domesticated ones. Are you following me? So that being the case, it is my responsibility to give you a full meal as pastor. Because if I ain't giving you a full meal, that means you're going to leave here. You ever go to a restaurant? You was hungry? And I'm not talking about one of the pick and choose, like a buffet place. I'm like, you went to a nice restaurant and you was hungry? And you wanted to order, so you got you an appetizer, you got a soup and a salad, and you got an entree. And every time you got each meal, you got frustrated because it seemed like the appetizer was more than the soup. The soup was more than a salad. And your dinner was less than all those. You left there. That means that they took your money, but they ain't put in a whole lot of, oh, somebody going to work with. You see, we have to realize something about the God whom we serve. He sent his best to get us while we were at our worst in order for us to recognize his position and his care for you and I. And since he gave his best, and now that we know the Father because of the actions of the Son, and now that we are saved and anointed and appointed, what Paul is saying, God doesn't want anything from you but your best. And if you're not able to present your best to God, then how do you expect God to approve it? Because what God gave to us was his. He put his stamp of approval on it. And when he saved us, we all of a sudden received that stamp of approval. But now that you've got the stamp of approval, what are you doing with that stamp that's on your life? Are you now just going to half step? What are you and I presenting to God in reference to what God has given us? I know you can't give God as much as he gave you. But are you giving God your? Am I making this up? You're listening, right? Now, look again. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him. Right? We know we're approved. We want to present. And what we're presenting is our. Lord, I was about to move on. What God wants us to present is our. And now that we're presenting our best because of we understand that we know we've been approved by him. And since we have presenting God our best, we can identify ourselves as these individuals. A worker who has no need to be. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't care. Y'all thought I was going to say something else, Daniel. Gotcha. You don't care. Let me tell you why you don't care. What I'm saying when I say you don't care what folk know about your yesterday. You don't care how they might know some of the stuff you've done wrong. Because guess what? Ain't nobody in here perfect. All have come short of the glory of God. We are where we are because Jesus is the one that elevated us. And now we are about our Father's business. We are giving God our best. You will not allow me to ever feel ashamed about what I give God when I know I'm giving God my best. So no matter what you say about me, I don't. Somebody working with me. You see, Sister Davis, they look at you playing and singing and all that. Some folks say, I don't know why she had to take that song and run it out like that. You don't know how God touched her in that song. I got to give God my. And I ain't going to stop until God tell me to.
because I recognize that I am a worker for the Lord, and I will not be ashamed of the work I do for God. Do I got anybody in God's house who recognize I'm a worker for God? I don't care what you say about me. I'm going to give God mine.
Oh, we're starting to get through here. We're starting to get through. But as we're seeing this, well, one of the things that Timothy had an issue with, y'all, he was feeling ashamed about what he was doing because the folk didn't seem to be responding in the way he expected them to. So he felt that it must be on him and not on them. And that's why Paul had to break it down like this. If you do your best and present it to God to get his approval, you're going to be all right. Because a workman need not to be ashamed. A workman, oh, I'm quoting King James, a workman need not to be ashamed. You see, my brothers and my sisters, if you know what you're doing it to glorify God, you will not make me feel ashamed. I know you might not like what I said because it might challenge you and it cause you to think about how you're living your life, but I will not be ashamed. You see, I am just doing what I've called to do, and I got to do it to the best of my ability because I know where God brought me from. I know what I was like. I know what he's done for me, and I will not let you have me walk around with my head down because I know when I give God my best, I know God's blessing me. Whether you get blessed by it, that's on you. When I know if God is in the midst, then we ought to feel his presence in this place. You see, my brothers and my sisters, do I got some workers in God's house who are willing to give God them and will not be a... Now, as a worker, what are we supposed to be doing? Rightly explaining the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of God. I'm reading New Revised, but I still, it's stuck up here. Rightly dividing the word of truth. If you are truly going to be a worker for God, you got to know how to be able to, using the New Revised Standard, explain the word of truth. But if you don't know it, some folk think it's the responsibility of the pastor to know the word. I don't need to know nothing. All I need to do is come here. And listen. Take it in. And that's it. It is a responsibility of every child of God to be a worker for the Lord. We ought to be able to take the word of God and rightly explain it or rightly divide it. We got to be able to take that which we know is true, because there's going to always be somebody looking at you wondering why you believe what you believe. And if they ask you why you believe what you believe and you say, I don't know. How you ever going to help somebody come to know Jesus if you don't know why you shout hallelujah? How you going to come and help somebody know they can be healed if you don't understand that he's a healer? How are you going to help somebody who is lost to get found if you don't understand what the whole process means? You see, my brothers and my sisters, what the Lord is looking for are some folk who understand that God chose you for the work. And once you know that God chose you for the work, that right there in itself is humbling, because you know where you were. You know where you were like. But God still what? Chose you. And ain't that something for us to be excited about? Ain't that something for us to praise him for? Ain't that something for us to want to know more? Ain't that something for us to want to dig into the word of God and say, Lord, what do you have for me to do? But if all I'm concerned with is coming on Sunday morning, getting my meal, going back home, burp a few times and wait for next Sunday, there's more to the ministry than you just taking. God doesn't want you just to be a taker. He wants you to be a giver. You got to be able to give somebody the good news. You got to be able to be an example for somebody. You might not have reverend or pastor or minister or elder or apostle in front of your name. That still don't matter. If you are a child of God, what you have is at the end of your name is B.A. You've been born again. And in order for you to know that you've been born again, you got to get up in this word and see what God has done for you, how he did it for you, and what he wants you to do right now. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we got too many folk in here that just want to work the way they want to work, but they don't want to do the work the way God is calling them to do it. And then we wonder why stuff get all twisted. We wonder why stuff get discombobulated. We don't understand why chaos exists, because we are not allowing the one who chose us for the work to have us do the work, because we want to do it our way. But I'm here to tell you, in order for us to get right, stay right, be right, do right, you got to know that God chose you for the work and do the work that God has chosen you to do. Let me help you, and I'm going to get ready to shut it down. There is not one person in here who is not able or capable if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Because if you accepted him as your Lord and as your Savior, you know that he is able, which means that he has the what? Power. And you know that he is capable because he is fit and has a quality to achieve. And if he has that and you have him, then tell me why aren't you working for him? Because he has given you all the essentials in order to get it done. You might think that you don't have the potential. You might think you don't have all that is needed to get the job done. But what I'm here to tell you, you don't know what you can do until you trust God and step out on. Because if the Lord brought you to it, he's going to bring you through it. He's going to give you everything you'll need in order to get the job done. God wants you and I to truly trust in him. God wants you and I to step out on faith. God wants you and I not to look at our surroundings, but look up to him. Because I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Because my help comes from the Lord. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And since I know all these things to be true, I'm not going to focus on the folk around me. I'm going to stay focused on the one who brought me to where I am right now. And guess what? The Lord is going to do a great work in me because he chose you for the work. So what am I saying to you today, my brothers and my sisters? I know you might feel that you don't have all the essential pieces in order to get the work done, but all I'm saying is get started, because what you think you don't have, God's going to bring it out and unfold it right in your presence. I'm here to tell you, isn't that what Moses thought? Moses thought he couldn't do it, but God showed him that yes, he could. And what did Moses do? He went into Egypt, and what happened? He brought the folk out. Imagine if David had went up against Goliath and thought he couldn't do it. David realized that he didn't have the power, but he served a God that has the power and who is able, and he made David able and capable, and he took down a giant. So what am I saying to you? God chose you for the work. Everybody in here who's a child of God, he's got a work for you to do. And yes, you're going to feel inadequate. When God told me and God called me to preach, please, I was running, because I wasn't even in church. I wasn't even saved when God called me. I'm like, man. But look at me now. And there's still times when I feel that, Lord, I'm not sure. And God says, wait a minute, who you trusting in? You going to look at them or you going to look at me? And if you keep your eye on me, I'll take care of everything else. You see, my brothers and sisters, all God wants are some faithful folk. All God wants is some folk who are willing to step out the boat and walk on the water. All God is looking for is some folk who truly have an excitement and truly understand the power of the God whom they serve. Understand that things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Do I got any folk who are able to believe God in the impossible? Do I have any folk in here who want to put forward in the work and realize, I understand they told me no, but once God tells me yes, I got to move forward on my yes. Didn't you hear the song the choir sang today? It said that God's got the power. And since he's got the power, he's given you and I the power in order to get it done. Do I got any workers in God's house that want to get the work done, want to see it through, and know that our God can do it? I'm telling you, God chose you for the All you got to be willing to do now is put the work in. He's looking for some workers. Why? Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers. So what does God say? He needs some more folk to work. But those who are working got to put the work in. And what's going to happen as you go into that harvest? You're going to get some more workers in the harvest. So what am I saying to you, my brothers and my sisters? Don't look at what you don't have. Praise God for what you do have. And continue to move in what you have. And I want you to know, in order for you to get more for God, don't complain with what you got. Praise him for what you got. Because if you want God to give you some more, Lord, I thank you what I got. I'm going to use it to the best of my ability. Can I get deep with you? Can I really get deep with you? We read about David beating Goliath. He beat him with a sling and a stone. And guess what? We never hear again David going into battle with a sling and a stone. Because God's got to take us where we are and use what we got. And once we realize we can use what we got and we can use it well, then God's going to give us a little bit more to use. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Show me in scripture after he beat Goliath. Show me in scripture where he again fought somebody else with a sling and a stone. He did. But that's all he had available. But that which he had available, God was able to use it. So what am I saying to you? What you have available is not. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, what I have is a great thing. Because if you don't see it as being great, then it won't be nothing. What you have is not useless. Don't you know everything that we have, when God touches it, it becomes a great thing. Don't you know when you look at yourself in the mirror, you're looking at somebody who is a great thing or a great person. Why? Because didn't there some folk who had just kicked you off? Isn't there some folk that pushed you aside? Isn't there some folk that labeled you? But now that you have the Lord has done a great thing in you, through you, and around you. So if God can do a great thing with you, that means that you got to thank him for what you got and continue to trust in him, and you'll end up with some more. Think about when you had your initial encounter with God and where you were. And look at where you are right now. Remember that praying car you used to drive? Remember that one bedroom flat you had? But look at what God has done. Remember how you used to buy your bus card? But now you got keys to your own car? Do you understand how God is elevating you? Because you was thanking him for where you were at that moment. Thank you, Lord. And you were using what you had and you used it to the fullest. And God said, now I'm going to promote you. Anybody in God's house wants to get promoted. Anybody in God's house wants to move forward. You won't know what God can do until you use what you got. Thank him for it. Praise him for it. And watch how God will take what you got, bless it, and increase it. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, God chose you for the work. And it's time for us to put the work in. We've been discouraged, but we got to get past that now. We have folk in the church say some nasty stuff to us, but we got to get past that now. We have some folk in the church, boy, call us everything but a child of God. But we got to get past that. Because let me help you understand something. When you get in the presence of God, and he asks you, what have you done for me? Well, Lord, I would have done more, but I ain't like the way they treated me. Did you look at my son? How did they treat him? Did he stop healing? Did he stop delivering? So, why have you stopped? How can you answer? How can you answer? You can't. If I stop preaching based on what somebody said about me, I wouldn't have got, after my first sermon, that would have been it. I'm being honest with you. You and I are working for God. Because God chose you for the work. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, take your eyes off folk and put them on God. Don't you know when I preach, I very rarely look around. You know why I look? Up. Because I ain't going to let y'all distract me. Because the first time I look at somebody looking at me like this, the first thing I'm saying to myself, what is wrong with this? David, I got to keep looking up. I look at that exercise so much, that exercise got a complex. Every now and then, it want to go orange. Because we have to maintain what God is calling us to do. I know somebody has upset you. They've upset me. But I can't stop. You can't either. If God has given you an abundance of a blessing and you don't utilize it, he's going to take it. 5-2-1. 5 May 10, 2 May 4, 1 kept it, didn't do nothing with it, snatched it from him and gave it to the one that had 10. So what God is saying, if you don't eventually utilize what I've given you, I'm taking it. God chose you for the work. Do the work. Share the good news. You don't know how I get excited every time somebody joins this church and they join saying, I came because whoever invited me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That means that folk are putting in the word because they like and praise God for what he is doing in this ministry. And if it's good for me, I got to share it with.